evening and welcome to Gillespie. I am your host, Josh Gillespie. Tonight is a jam-packed show. I can't stress this enough. It is huge. So big, it could only fit in the Empire State. That's right, tonight's episode is chock full of rhinos, New York style. We have John Brodigan, Dina Fraioli, and of course, Mark Warner and Christy Kelly. It's going to be a good show tonight. So much is happening. I'm skipping the monologue, and we're going to get right to the show here in just a few minutes. Stick around. A quick message, and we'll be right back with Christy Kelly. You're listening to Gillespie here on FTRRadio.com.
Hey, Gillespie fans. This is Fingers Tiberius Molloy. Listen to The Snark Factor with Fingers Molloy every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time only on FTR Radio. And check out my website, fingersmolloy.com.
Fingers.
I'm your host, Josh Gillespie. With me this week, welcome back, is Christy Kelly. Christy, thanks for being on this week. How was your exams?
Oh, well, it was very good. Very, very, very good. I was pleasantly surprised by everything. I squeaked by a couple A's, and that's exactly what I needed. So it was a hairy semester. Whew, I'm glad that one's behind me.
Well, it seems like education still hasn't been too far from your mind, even though you've been on holiday, so to speak, from school. Christy brought to my attention an article by Diane Schrader on David Horowitz's newsreel blog called "Desecrating Academia." Fascinating article that is basically the group FIRE. I don't know if any of our listeners are familiar with FIRE. They are the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education. They put together a top 10 list of basically the top 10 atrocities in academia all across the United States, challenging student and even some professor thought is what it comes down to with a lot of these.
Yes.
They list 10 of these things, and each one, we're not going to get to all of them, but each one of them are just more absurd than the next. But we wanted to highlight a few of you for our listeners. And we're going to start off basically with number 10 here, which took place at Temple University. Christy, tell us a little bit what happened here at Temple.
Well, Geert Wilders, many of you know who he is. He is from the Netherlands, I believe. And he is a very, very popular politician from the Netherlands who has had difficulties with free speech in his own country. So he comes to our country that is very well known, supposedly, for free speech, supposed to and speak on a college campus, which is supposed to be a bastion of free speech. And
supposed to be.
Yes. And the Temple was, they were unable to halt his speaking engagement. However, they did come back with security fees.
After they initially had waived them.
Yes. Well, they're not even supposed to. It is the university's responsibility to provide this. So it does not, so to protect free speech on campus, actually. This is part of protecting free speech, is to allow anyone, any controversial speaker, regardless, and so we don't put a price on it. So we don't put a price on free speech. So this was to be taken care of by the university. And so they tried to charge post-speech. So FIRE stepped in and they won.
Well, what's funny is they say that they're, you know, it's supposed to be, you know, we'll take care of it. Then they send them a bill for $800. Then they send them a letter saying, you better be happy, it's only $800. We should have charged you $6,000. Oh, my goodness. Well, next on the list, which, you know, was absolutely astonishing, because this one takes place at Tarrant County College, which is in Texas, that students were holding it was the the college forbid their school's chapter for students for concealed carry on campus from holding an empty holster protest on campus. Supposedly, according to the article, supposedly the sight of those empty holsters would scare other students.
Oh, it sounds
an empty
frightening.
Holster would scare. There's nothing in it. There's air.
And yep.
That's gonna scare some students there on campus.
Yes, we don't want to scare the timid. But you know, this is in the face of the shootings on campus that we have. It's been the crazy people who come on campus, these crazy deranged students, and in many cases not even students at the campus, who go out and kill a bunch of students who are completely unarmed and vulnerable. You know, they're just like we, you know, whenever you have a gun-free zone, even our military bases, which just blows my mind that's a gun-free zone on the military base. These people are sitting ducks. There's nothing they can do to defend themselves. And so we have an egregious violations here of the First and Second Amendment rights.
Oh, it's crazy. Well, the craziness ensues. And of course, this one shouldn't shock anybody. We're jumping up on the list here to UCLA, where a couple of Enviro profs got upset at another Enviro prof for basically exposing the fallacy that apparently some of these diesel engines aren't as bad. Actually, the research that this Enviro prof did showed that the danger from diesel emissions and other particulate air pollution may not merit the level of government intervention that they have there in California. Or at least that seems to be the problem.
And he was a whistleblower. That's another part of the problem. He was a whistleblower in exposing that some of the members of the California Air Resources Board were serving beyond their legally allowed terms. So, yeah.
So what does the school do? They boot him. The department boots him in, and of course, fire got involved in this too.
So, what do we have here? Do we have like the article questions? Is this supposed to be science based or politically based?
Exactly.
Departments.
It's a no other faculty member in that department seems to be under the evaluation base. Seems to be under evaluation based on research output, which is what they said that he was under evaluation on. And they had taken the money, his salary, and through some shady shenanigans had taken his salary to come out of his grant. So when his grant dried up, they said, well, we got to let you go.
Yeah.
Hilarious if you're on the left. That's just shocking.
On to number six, which is number one in my should be number one in my book. She fears you, gentlemen.
Right.
She fears you. She is scared of you, especially if you're white.
Oh yes, and you promote classism.
Wow, this is
if you're a homophobic, classist, racist, then Hamilton College has the course for you, a mandatory course. And apparently, it's what I gathered from that from this particular section is that this is a mandatory course dedicated to and only for white males.
That's right. They told them that they had to go, and that males only had to go because, you know, we have what is called a rape culture on campus, when actually there hasn't been any documented rapes on this campus in the preceding year. And what they had to change, help these young men change their rape supportive beliefs and attitudes. And that also worked on other, you know, social issues.
Social justice.
Yes, yeah, social justice. And the problem is what they need is just to help these men stop being such Neanderthals.
That's right, because apparently, you know, what? And frankly, apparently Neanderthalism is such a problem on this campus that they're not informing the students that are coming to this school that this is a Neanderthal-based school, so we have this class, you know, fathers protect your daughters, That is, unless you're a Neanderthal yourself, then there's probably a class that you need to take as well.
Well, I'll tell you what, my experience is at IUPUI. I took a human sexuality course, and, you know, it was really, you know, I'm going into nursing, and I was very interested in nurse midwifery. I thought this would be something I might be able to glean important things for my career. No, it was all about how to be a great gay person and how to love gay people if you're not one, and how to hate white conservative men. And on one of the chapters, it talked about rape and crimes against women, and that basically it profiled the profile of a rapist, that they're typically white and conservative in their political views. I kid you not. I saved that textbook. I thought,
what does this have to do with midwifery?
It had nothing. I thought, you know, human sexuality. I thought, you know, in human sexuality, you may be counseling patients on issues helping in pregnant,
sure,
et cetera.
Yeah.
I thought this would be real human sexuality, because human sexuality, you know, it has a lot to do with propagating the people.
yeah, it's propagation, not necessarily the race or anything, just people.
People, you know? Propagating the people.
We need that for people to exist.
Exactly, that's kind of what I thought it was. No, not at all. And so I had to save that book, because I want to show everyone, and I will keep that book for every show. This is why she fears you, people. She fears you because she's told a bunch of junk. She's told that white conservative men just are Neanderthals, and they want to drag you back to their cave and have their way with you.
Oh my goodness.
So it's, well, that's have, why just, if she does fear you.
That's right. Well, we have just under a couple minutes here, Christy. Can you touch on just a couple more here?
Okay, what do we've got? We were on number 6.
We're gonna jump to number 3 on the list.
Yes, let's jump to number 3. University of California, Hastings College of Law versus the Christian Legal Society. You know, on many college campuses, you have clubs. You join a club, and typically it's a club for like-minded people. That's the whole point of the club, where you share values of fellow members. In this club, you were to sign a statement of faith that you did not believe in the practice of the homosexual lifestyle. And if you do, you could not be a part of the club. Well, they wanted to rule that this club was not fit for their campus, and so they wanted to deny it its recognition. And this went all the way to the Supreme Court, where a majority of 5-4 ruled that Hastings Law School had not violated the First Amendment by denying the student Christian group. So now the student Christian group is very vulnerable to takeover, to hostile takeover, because essentially those who do not agree with this group can essentially join it, outnumber those in the group, and vote to close it. Therefore, no more diversity.
Wow. Well, what was number 1 on the list?
Oh, number 1. Wow. Well, number 1 is one of the things that gets me ranting and raving, and I've ranted and raved plenty about this publicly, about why we have a Marxist in the White House. We have a Marxist in the White House because we have Marxists in the classrooms. And this goes to, this will prove it to you right here. We have what is called dispositions theory. And this is a tactic used by education schools to ensure that potential teachers have the correct views on social justice. And so this professor Casey,
who defines the correct views on social justice there?
That would be maybe, I don't know, the integrity committee.
Oh, an integrity committee. Wow.
Yeah. So
they're reaching for it, aren't they?
Yes. We have a professor Casey Johnson wrote a column who actually criticizing the concept. And his colleagues at the Brooklyn College Education Department, 31 of them, signed a letter demanding that he stopped writing about this altogether. This the integrity committee.
Yeah.
So,
oh my word.
Yeah, and
This is crazy. So it kind of goes back to, you know, what happened to him seems to be what happening to that professor out at UCLA. Once you start writing against something that the people don't like about, well, let's just censor you.
We will censor you. That's right. We have. And, you know, remember that there was, oh, man, I'm trying to recall this, a recent documentary that was actually put out mainstream in the theaters for a time, talking about science and how the integrity of academia and real science, and if you hold a view of creationism.
Oh, Waiting for Superman. Wasn't that Waiting for Superman?
I don't think so. This is what creationism, and it had that one guy on it. He talks with a monotone like this. Bueller.
Oh, Ben Stein.
Thank you.
Yes. I remember what you're talking about. I forget the name of the documentary. I have seen that. It was pretty good.
It's everywhere, and it's been in academia, and it's not a surprise. But are we going to stand up and say anything about it now? You know, have we had enough of it? Have we seen the fruit of what Marxism, communism, professors have been promoting to our children, and the and how they are indoctrinating our children with their own views of social justice?
Well, what it seems to me is that in every case here, what we had, except for maybe the whole thing with Geert Wilders, thought police.
Mm-hmm.
They were in action. So in essence, I guess outside of situation number three, which went all the way to the Supreme Court, all were violations, or what I think normal people would see as violations of First Amendment thought.
Exactly, and that's why FIRE gets involved. You know, they are there to help defend the First Amendment on college campuses. And, you know, FIRE will defend even the scumbags if it's necessary. Because everyone has the right to First Amendment free speech. But most of their cases have to do with conservatism, because it's conservative thought that is being censored and suppressed on college campuses, and it's being vilified. It's scary to take a stand if you're a conservative. It really is. It can affect your career.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is some amazing stuff that you brought to our attention, Christy. Thank you. Hopefully, you had FIRE on your on when you were on CPN.
Yes, I did. So, I have them on several times because I am such a huge fan. I've always featured them on my website, and I'm a very big supporter.
ChristyKelly.com.
Yes, and I encourage you, everyone listening, go to thefire.org, subscribe to their RSS feed, tweet their articles, post them on Facebook, you know, join them on YouTube, and support them wherever you can. Help spread the
Excellent.
Word of FIRE, because they really are on the front lines. A lot of these cases were won. They fought them, and because of the pressure and publicity brought about by FIRE, they were able, in most of these cases, come to resolution.
Well, thank you for bringing this to our attention, Christy.
You're welcome.
And Christy will be back with us again next week, as always. That is, unless a test comes up.
Well,
we'd like to make sure that Christy does well in school.
That's right. I don't have school next week. Yay!
All right. Thank you, Christy. You're listening to Gillespie here on FTRRadio.com. We'll be right back after these short messages.
FTR Radio salutes some of the great Democrat presidents in the radio era. FTR Radio.
And welcome to Gillespie here on FTRRadio.com. I am your host, Josh Gillespie, as always. With me is Mark Warner. Mark, thanks for being on the show this week.
No problem.
Mark, I wanted to have you come on tonight, and I wanted you to discuss a post that you had written on Hoosier Access last week.
The one that got 18 comments and, like, close to, like,
it's, it's been one of the more popular posts in what I would call a normally dead week.
Right.
And you brought life to the site. What can I say?
Well, you know, I have to give props to Jenny Erickson for that.
Well, I'd say so. If for those who missed it, Mark picked up the torch left by Jenny Erickson on the whole issue with GoProud and CPAC. And Mark, I'm going to let you talk more about this, but I thought this would be a nice lead-in to our Ask a Rhino segment, since you're the token rhino on the show. So
that would be me.
That would be you. That would be you. And why would we not also want to promote other FTR people? So why not promote Jenny Erickson while we're at it?
Right.
So what did Jenny write about here?
Well, Jenny wrote, she put on her site called The Stir. She was talking about and it happened last year at CPAC too as well. How a couple of attendees at CPAC basically boycotted CPAC and walked out because GoProud was invited. Well,
if there are people listening to this show who do not know who GoProud is,
GoProud is it's a gay conservative group. They believe in limited government, individual liberty, and a strong national defense.
These sound like people I need to have on Ask a Rhino.
Right. Right. You should actually contact them and see if they would come on. That would probably be a good episode.
It would definitely get some listeners.
Yeah, it would probably cause, as Jenny Erickson's, the stir. Probably cause a stir.
It would probably cause a stir?
Yeah. Well, we had 18 comments on this just one post. And, you know, they compared GoProud to Emily's List and Planned Parenthood and just as destructive. I'm like, wait a minute. You're comparing gay marriage to abortion?
Well, you brought out the SOCONs. I mean, Hoosier Access has been historically a very socially conservative website as well as fiscally conservative. I think we're fairly well-rounded
in that.
We don't ask anybody to compromise on their beliefs. I think we may give a little bit more treatment to social issues due to some of our contributors, but, you know, I think that we're very fair.
Right. Well, and here's the thing about the whole GoProud, CPAC, two of the family...
two of the family organizations, they're not participating because GoProud is.
Yeah, they're not going to participate because GoProud was invited. Now, let me just go ahead and say this. Grow up.
Ooh, them's fine.
Because, honestly, everybody that's going to be there, do they agree with you wholeheartedly? No. They don't.
Well, one thing that I think I read, I can't remember if it was on your post or if it was on Jenny's post or where I read it exactly, but for someone who, one of the people who got up to the stage at CPAC last year apparently called GoProud out and was booed off stage.
Right. Right.
Now, of course, this is the same crowd that you know, gave, what was it, Ron Paul or was it Mitt Romney who won the straw poll last year? I forget, but it was ridiculous. Ron Paul? Okay.
Right. They got booed off the stage. Here's the thing. If we are going to start shutting out people that will vote against Democrats, we're sad. And I understand they have their issues, okay? I get it. They have they don't believe in gay marriage. They fight against it. Great. You have your issues. But so does this group. So
GoProud isn't even specifically isn't a social justice pro gay marriage organization. I mean, they probably are pro gay marriage, but I mean, you know, that's not their chief issue.
They fight for that issue, but they fight against the limited government, less spending, less government, strong national defense. Come on.
Well, if it wasn't for the fact that they supported gay marriage, Mark, I'd say that they're normal conservatives. But the fact that they support gay marriage like you do, that makes them a rhino.
But if we start shutting people out of the party, is that good?
No.
this is a strong group. They're very well known and very active, and they have been in the last year and a half, 2 years. They've been very active. And my whole thing is fine, you don't agree with them on one issue. One issue. But you know what? Honestly, if I was CPAC, I wouldn't want them there anyway. If they're going to act like
that. The Family Research Tony Perkins and the Family Research Council, you wouldn't right. want them there?
No, I mean, why would you want them there if all they're going to do is cause trouble? Here's the thing, and I'm not.
That's not very big tent of you there, Mark.
I'm not. Here's my point.
I think you'd want them there even if they are going to cause trouble. Maybe what it does, and this is hopefully this is what happens, is that we actually start to see a good conversation of this. Start to emerge.
Well, and I think that's if they would be willing to sit down with them and have the conversation, then let's have the conversation. But just don't go, I'm taking my ball and going home. That's not how we win races. That's not how we compete on the Hill. That's not how we get things done. I'm not saying a compromise on everything that you believe in. But you need to compromise a little bit and pick up your ball and play games.
You know, you've been talking an awful lot about compromise these last few weeks, Warner. I got my
eye
on
you. Well, what? Josh, how does things get done on the Hill?
Well, this isn't the Hill, Mark.
It doesn't matter. How do you races? We don't
keep
people out of the party. We don't shut the people out. We don't do that. You don't shut voters out. That's what Pelosi and the Democrat-led Congress did, was they shut voters out. And look what happened.
Oh, I know.
If we as a party and if we as a group of conservatives shut these people out, we're wrong in that. I mean, it's like one of the candidates told me this past year, he goes, people want to come and volunteer for me. I ask them a few questions, I give them some materials, they go out, they come back empty-handed and a list checked off. You know what? They got my stuff out. They might not agree with me on one to two issues, but they would agree with me on most issues. Do I still want them? Yes, I still want their vote. And that's true. I mean, I understand this is CPAC, so it's a little bit different, but still, we have people that are just going to go, well, we don't want them. And I'm not going to play ball because they don't agree with me on one issue. I get it. I mean, if you don't agree with on one issue, they're not Emily's List. They're not Planned Parenthood. They're Go Proud. They're a conservative group that believes in gay marriage when the other group doesn't. And you know what? Other parties see this. The Democrats and other people see this, and then they go ahead and stir the pot. It's not good. It's not good for party things, and it's not good to get out the vote. If you start playing that game, then what good are we going to do?
It's an interesting subject, I'll say this. You know, a mutual friend of ours, who we've had on the show, Bill Browning, who is one of the chief editors for the Bolerico Project.
Right.
I remember having a conversation with him one time, and he was saying that, you know, surprisingly, there are a large number of conservative gay people.
Right.
And I was like, really? He's like, oh, yeah. And he said, well, they're mostly fiscal conservatives. You know, they're not exactly the most socially conservative.
Right.
But, you know, they believe in the strong national defense. They believe in, a tight fiscal ship.
Yeah, less government, limited...
Yeah. I'm thinking, well, all right, I didn't know actually they existed. Let's have more of these people.
Well, and that's the thing. He actually emailed me after that post.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he emailed me through Facebook and said, wow. And I said, well, you know, here's the thing. If we, it doesn't matter if I agree with him or not, but we shouldn't be shutting out groups.
You know what we
I'm
should
just
do?
Saying, and we shouldn't boycott them.
What we should do, and I'm thinking this right now, is we need to have a segment with Bill and someone from GoProud. That'd be a fun conversation. Let the two go at it.
Yes.
Yes.
You need to set that up.
Yeah, I like brainstorming about these kinds of things on air.
Right.
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 Well, Mark.
Right.
We've come to the end of our segment. Why? Because Ask a Rhino takes so much dang time, but it's so worth it.
Right.
So I have to cut you off.
That's okay.
You've been a terrific lead-in.
I will give up my time for Dina and John.
As well you should.
I wouldn't give it up for John, but Dina's on there, and Dina was the first segment that I did with Rhino.
She's returning. Can't you believe it?
I know.
I needed to have two New Yorkers is what it was.
Yeah, that was...
If it's going to be a true, true Rhino episode, you go no further than New York. So, the land of Rudy Giuliani and Rhinos, the like, Alphonse D'Amato.
Hey, on a side note?
Yeah.
This morning I heard Lindsey Graham going, "I like Mitt Romney" in 2012.
Oh, help us all.
Yes.
Oh, God.
When I heard that, I was like, oh, no. No, he just did not say that.
Oh, man.
That's all I'm going to say on the subject. All
right, I cannot. I want 2012 to come, but at the same time, I'm kind of happy where we are right now because I'm afraid of what's going to happen. That said, you're listening to Gillespie here on FTR Radio. Coming up next, Ask a Rhino, John Brodigan, Dina Fraioli, New Yorkers, real rhinos. Coming up next, we'll be right back after these messages. Stories. We all love them, and we all have them. Whether you're a candidate, public office, or a small business, you have a story which is incredibly unique to you. The problem isn't having a story, the problem is how to tell your story. And that's where my friend Jacob Barry comes in. Jacob is a gifted storyteller who has the added bonus of being an experienced campaign professional, marketer, sales professional, and small business owner. Not only can he put the right words together, he knows exactly what needs to be said and how to say it. So the next time you need a speech, sales letter, article, or marketing piece, trust the professional I go to. Trust Jacob Perry. You can reach him on the web at www.jacobperry.us. Give him a call at 772-678-0820. That is 772-678-0820. Or drop him a line at jacob@jacobperry.us.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time again for the wave that's taken the nation by storm, where I put so-called Republicans on the spot. Are they real GOPers or just Republicans in name only? It's time for Ask a Rhino!
It is my pleasure to have New York's finest on this week's Ask a Rhino. John Brodigan and Dina Fraioli. Dina's making her return. Dina, thank you for coming back for another episode. Well, you know, if Brodigan's going to be on, I need another New Yorker to make a true Rhino episode, I feel.
because we all know that New Yorkers are the original Rhinos, we are, in fact, the Sicilians of Rhinos.
Well, for those who may not be familiar with John, I know they're familiar with Dina. But just in case you're not familiar with John, John is the Rated R Republican.
That's me.
He is, according to his Facebook page, the blogging assassin, the king of all new media, not only in The Voice, but the heart and soul of New York State young Republicans. Oh, my goodness. Long Island's own John Brodigan. If I had the applause thing to play again, I'd play it. But I don't.
Okay, I do have a question for you. In your intro music,
you're jumping the gun
to life
on
that's
me.
Free.
Yes.
Was that perchance a subtle Empire Records reference?
You know what? One, that is an awesome movie that you even bring that up. So I'm absolutely thrilled. It is not a subtle Empire Records reference, but I will claim that it is. No,
that works.
It's just because, you know. It's about I want money, and frankly, when I think of rhinos, I only think of money and power.
Well, yeah, because I mean, we have no actual positions or beliefs that we believe in other than winning.
That's right. See, Mark, you could learn a thing or two from real rhinos.
Hello, hi, hello, what?
By the way, for those who haven't noticed, Mark Warner has continued to be in the following segment. He's not actually participating. He's not a rhino person. You know, he's not part of the segment. He's just my Vanna White for the evening.
Why am I your Vanna White?
Well, because this is my show and I'm the Pat Sajak. So naturally, you have to be my Vanna White for this segment.
Okay. So does this mean there's going to be a Vanna White Photoshop job on the Twitter after the show?
You know, not funny.
John, I like the way you think. But unfortunately, my skills in that area are they're not even good. So I'm not even going to try. And the people who would do it, I think Mark has a hit out on them. So I'm not going to.
I do have a hit out on them, actually.
I'm not going to risk that, risk their lives any further. But anyway, I have you guys on because today, being Monday, the day before the show actually airs, today we had what is probably the biggest thing going on for Republicans right now, other than the start of the new Republican Congress, is the chairman's debate between Michael Steele and everyone who wishes to replace him in Washington over at the RNC. And Jennifer Rubin of the Washington Post actually had quite a couple good write-ups on this. And so, first of all, I mean, outside of, you know, obvious choices, who is the rhino's choice in this race? And tell me, how do you say Reince Priebus? Is that the way
Rance
to say it?
Reince Priebus.
What is it?
It's Reince Priebus.
Reince?
Yeah. Okay. Unless I'm just saying it like a New Yorker, but I think it's Reince.
Okay, because I got to tell you, when I was looking at the lineup, at least, you know, they had Grover Norquist, who should be right up your guy's alley. I mean, he's establishment as you can get.
He's an old boss.
Yeah, and then Tucker Carlson, they were both moderating this event, or judging who is the real Republican in this race. So as I kind of looked at it, but yeah, who's the rhino's choice in this thing?
See, it's tough. On one hand, you would have to go with Michael Steele. Just because he's who the media likes, so therefore he could be the rhino. And also, Priebus definitely has some definite rhino qualities because, I mean, on one hand, he during the debate, he mentioned that he cared about issues and stuff that people believe in, which disqualifies him as being a rhino. But by the same token,
that's right
he's,
out there.
Yeah, he's the front runner, which makes you a rhino by default. Yeah. And he's proven in Wisconsin that he could win, which, again, once you win something, again, that makes you a rhino by default. So I think Priebus is the head rhino in charge here.
Well, especially in the socialist state of Wisconsin.
Right.
I mean, if Republicans are winning there, clearly they've caved on some core issues and principles.
Yeah, with all those, like, squishy fake conservatives like Paul Ryan, Sean Duffy. Scott Walker, he's another phony conservative.
How dare you throw true conservatives in my face like that, John? I don't appreciate that.
Ron Johnson, the way he destroyed Russ Feingold, he's another rhino.
Oh my gosh. What's going on up in Wisconsin?
it's got to be something in the cheese.
Oh.
Dina, who's your choice? Do we still have Dina? Have we lost Dina?
Dina?
Did Dina just get lactose intolerant?
Hold on. I think we lost her. I'm going to try calling her
Dina,
again.
Dina got all mushy because she was in Wisconsin at a time.
Hold on. Apparently Skype is automatically trying to bring her back into the call, which is awesome. So, anyway, we'll continue on until Skype brings Dina back.
I think it's raining.
Fortunately, not on my end. And my end is the recording end. It does look like it is ringing, though. Hopefully she picks up sometime soon. Anyway, John, since you are the remaining Rhino New Yorker here.
Okay.
We're going to continue to put you on the line here. Did you see the question here? What disqualifies you as a Republican? Frankly, I want to know what disqualifies these guys as rhinos.
Well, that's the whole thing, because up until that question, Priebus was, like, the main rhino, but since he said stuff that, like, if you were for bailouts or if you're pro-choice, you can't be a Republican anymore.
Yes, exactly. So, my question to you is, does that make you automatically pro-choice and love the environment?
You know something? It might.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, when I woke up this morning, I was pro-life. And as I was throwing my Styrofoam Dunkin' Donuts cup on the ground, but come to think of it, I suddenly am I feel like I'm pro-choice and I have to go hug a tree.
Oh my goodness, this is good stuff. This is good stuff.
Cut off, guys.
What?
She did get cut off.
Oh no! Oh no! Well, let's.
Told her to try to call you back.
Well, she won't be able to call me back because Power Grammo puts you on an automatic to like some sort of voicemail. Let me see if we can capture her in again. Hold on, I'm gonna try something. I'm gonna try something here.
I could have sworn my computer said she was back on.
We're gonna add to this call. It says my call failed. Is there something on her end?
I don't know. Hold on, she's texting me. She said it's not working to try to call you back.
Yeah, it won't. So she can't call me. Tell her not to call me.
Okay. So you're gonna call her?
Yeah, I'm trying to.
We are way off target here, but that's all right. Hey, she's raining her.
Hey.
Is she back
Dina?
On?
Dina?
Yes.
Hey,
I was really.
She is.
This is definitely gonna make the Ask a Rhino segment that more interesting. that we lost you. That we're losing rhinos.
Off Josh to add to this.
We are losing rhinos during our segment. Well, Dina, I'm going to pose to you a question that I posed to John here real quick. He was giving me his rhino's choice of RNC chairman. Who's your rhino's choice for RNC chairman?
See, I have a very reasoned and logical answer. And
I'm going to question your rhino-ness just for that.
You're probably going to question my rhino-ness. I really enjoyed Ann Wagner. I was definitely not impressed with Rance Priebus.
You almost made me spit into my microphone when you said that.
Ooh. When I said what? That I wasn't impressed with Rance?
No. Ann Wagner, because my question is, who the heck is this person?
Ann Wagner in 2004 was she was an RNC person, but what she did was female outreach. So yeah. She kind of, I mean, this is the point in time when they were still doing 72-hour RNC GOP TV stuff. Well, we did not do that in 2010, which is a big mistake, because that was a very successful organization. So she knows how to do that. She knows how to make the trains run on time. And I kind of think that, you know, Solon Inzes, he was saying that we need a fundraiser. We do need strong fundraisers. We need someone who is not like Michael Steele and goes out there and calls these old rich guys, yo, dog, what's going on? We don't need people like that. And if you think he hasn't done that, you'd be sadly mistaken.
Wait a minute. We can't say that. You racist.
Yo, dog, what's going on?
Actually,
so you're saying that, you know, we can't, you know, reach out by trying to become like those we are trying to reach? wasn't that what Michael Steele was trying to do?
Well, listen, he was trying to be the counter. The counterpoint, the counterweight, whatever you want to call it, to Obama.
Yeah.
And that's not how you do it. We can't just have a figurehead that is someone that is supposed to be completely different than Obama. And you know what? You can't really just say, like, well, you know, it's Michael Steele. He's a black guy. We've got a black guy, too. They've got a black guy. And I'm going to be called a racist for this, but I don't care because I'm right. You can't just use someone like, just like you can't use a woman because I'm going to be clean.
Thank you, because this is my show, not John's show.
No, go ahead, Dina, let it out.
You can't just put up a woman because she's got lady parts.
Ah, thank you for
But I still think that Ann Wagner has that experience, and she'll be more of a uniter. Whereas Michael Steele is someone who's, you know, he's divided us, and he's made us a CRAPPY party.
Hey, I appreciate a guy who can fist bump a head of state, that's all.
I like that too, but when you make the job about your ego, as opposed to about the party, as opposed to uniting us and fundraising, it's a real problem. Your ego becomes the main, it becomes the job.
Did anyone catch today Michael Steele misquoting his favorite book? Where he said his favorite book was War and Peace, and then he goes on to quote Oliver Twist? No, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. I'm going to misquote it, but that's because I haven't read a classic piece of literature, that's why.
It's A Tale of Two Cities.
There we go, I knew it was Dickens. So,
I mean, the thing with Michael Steele always trying to show everyone how down he was, and I mean, as Dina knows, you know, I was raised on the mean streets of Massapequa, so I mean, I have my ear to the streets. It's my job. I mean, you know, New York, Empire State, where dreams are made of. There's nothing you can't do. There's a, there's
hold
a
on.
Right
are,
way
are,
to do
are
it.
You mixing? Are you mixing Frank Sinatra and Jay-Z all at the
he,
same
he
time?
He is. He
That's
is.
How that. And, That's how I do. That's how I do.
Oh my goodness! Next thing but, you're going to tell me is that you know it's a concrete jungle. You know where. Where dreams are made of, but that's
actually what I meant to say. But I'm such a rhino, I screwed up the lyric.
It's actually New York instead of New York, just in case.
Especially on Long Island. But here's the thing: I mean, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. Like someone like Marco Rubio, who's in his 30s, quoting a Snoop Dogg song.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Nothing, but he does it in a way where it's like, all right, he's actually from the culture. He's actually one of us. He's actually young like us. It makes sense. Anytime Michael Steele did it, he looked less like he was trying to be down and more like he's the grandpa who's trying to show the kids how hip he is.
Oh.
Me! Fish bump me, dog!
I'm waiting for one of these guys to come around and say, what's up, my D-O-double-G? You know? And I don't see that coming from anybody who ran or who is running.
But the funny thing is, I was listening to Dina. I think Ann Wagner might be the main rhino because I didn't think about going the identity politics route. And if we're getting behind her just
right.
because she's a woman, yeah. only rhinos do identity politics.
That's
and
true.
Maybe not of even course. A rhino, but also like a Diablo, a Democrat and all, but label only.
Wow, that's a new one.
That is a new one.
Okay, wow. I stole that from someone. I don't remember who, so if that person's listening, I'm sorry.
It's, dude, it's you're, rain, a you're a rhino. Take credit.
That's right. You
okay,
take
fine.
Credit was, for other people's ideas.
Yes.
Yeah,
it was
you take other people's ideas and you run with it, John.
Yeah. And not to mention the song lyric I quoted, that was Jay-Z's original lyric, but he stole it from me and mixed it a little bit so you can get the lawsuit.
Oh, nice. But, nice.
But, yeah, if we're going to do the... identity politics route, then Ann Wagner might be the she might be the true rhino.
I see it. I kind of like where you're going with that. Well, the other reason that I am pleased to have the four of us on tonight is because next weekend, this coming Saturday, I should say, it is the epic showdown at Lucas Oil Stadium between the Indianapolis Colts and the New York Jets. And today on Twitter, Brodigan decided to throw down the gauntlet. And
well,
and,
no,
and
no, wait a second. I made a suggestion. It was your colleague at Hoosier Access, April, who actually followed back with yes, because you know the Jets are going to lose because they suck, and like their mother smell funny and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, the thing is that April speaks truth, but so it was an easy bet to take.
No, the thing is, April is writing checks that Austin Colley and Anthony Gonzalez can't cash.
Oh, we see. Now you're just picking on two guys who happen to be on the IR right now. So clearly they can't cash them. But what's
wow.
Now the bet is that if the Colts win, that John and Dina at CPAC have to karaoke sing a John Mellencamp song, to be determined, but right now, because it severely irritates Dina, we're leaning towards Small Town.
Okay. Oh, and while wearing Colts t-shirts.
Yes, while you're wearing Colts t-shirts. Now, if the Jets somehow miraculously win, because clearly they don't know how to beat the Colts unless Curtis Painter is the quarterback.
Or after Darrell Revis shuts down Reggie Wayne.
Oh, please. What's Rex Ryan's record against Peyton Manning? 5-1? Oh, that's right. Yeah, and that one probably came when Curtis Painter was actually the quarterback for the Colts at the time. Anyway, if the Colts somehow lose this game, which isn't entirely possible, then April, Mark, and I at CPAC again have to karaoke sing a Kiss tune. Oh, jeez, of all things, you couldn't even go Springsteen. I mean, seriously, man,
Springsteen's in New Jersey.
On a Kiss song,
whatever. Springsteen acts like he's from New York. Oh,
well, wait a second. Originally, I had suggested Ace Frehley's New York Groove. But, again, April writing you guys Check You Can Cash, he upped the ante to doing Frank Sinatra's New York, New York while you guys do the kick line.
I'm okay with that one.
No kick line. I did not agree to a kick line. I agreed to no kick line.
New York State of Mind, maybe?
A New York State of Mind? I'd say New York State of Mind. Now, but the thing is that Mark has to do the rapping. I'll do the Alicia Keys part, and then Mark.
But
Mark
no.
Has to do the
I mean, wait a second. Mark's gonna do the rapping anyway.
Well, that's true.
He can
lay down a stone cold rhythm, is what he can.
Yeah, I mean, I guarantee you, as soon as karaoke starts, we're getting the Rhino version of Ba-Widaba.
It's funny how it's going to magically disappear during karaoke, too. I'm going to have such an important Rhino meeting to attend. It's weird.
Oh, well, you'll have to wear your cult shirt when you go to that meeting.
Oh, Dina.
Yes.
That's not how this works.
Also, the game is on my birthday. I feel like I have an advantage that the Jets are going to win because it's my birthday and it's good luck.
You're not even a Jets fan. You're a Giants fan.
I'm a Giants fan. The Jets suck.
Thank you very much. And frankly, if she's going to root for a Manning, it might as well be a Manning that consistently goes to the playoffs.
I am going to break up his marriage, so I am hoping that... Not hoping they win. I still want the Jets to win, but still.
You're going to break up Peyton's marriage?
Peyton will be my husband. He just doesn't realize it yet. Once he gets rid of those pesky, you know, restraining orders and realizes my true love, we'll be together.
Well, and wait a second. But also, in Dina's defense, and in Eli Manning's defense... It wasn't Eli Manning who let DeSean Jackson run for 98 yards in a punt return.
It was your punter. True. It was your punter.
Without even trying to block him. So that's not Dean or Eli's fault. That's like a complete failure of the special teams unit.
Oh,
that's true.
Good times.
Otherwise, the Giants would be the ones in the playoff, and we'd be having the bed with a Springsteen song.
Yeah.
Because whenever I think of New York, you know, I think of especially teams that claim New York but play in Jersey. I actually think of the
Giants. Oh, that's fighting words.
I think of the Giants, actually, as the New York team and the Jets as some loser wannabe Jersey team.
See,
that's not me trying to suck up to Dina. I'm just saying, you know. They're called the New York Football Giants because the New York Baseball Giants used to play at the Polo Grounds before it was demolished, and they decided to move to San Francisco for some ungodly reason. And
but here's the flaw in your logic: the New York Football Giants,
yes,
live, train, operate, and do everything else in New Jersey. The New York Football Jets are Long Island's own New York Football Jets. They train in New York. They practice in New York. They pay their taxes in New York. So if we're being technical, the Jets are the true New York team.
Really? That's so sad.
The Buffalo Bills, that's like Canada Junior.
Canada Junior.
Yeah, you know, if the NFL was to expand to a foreign nation, we could export the Buffalo Bills, and I don't think anybody would miss them.
Actually, the Bills play like 2-3 games in Canada because they think the NFL is trying to export them.
They probably are.
Yeah, leaving the Jets the one true New York football team.
Oh, gosh. Can you imagine that? That's awful. The Jets just seem slimy.
Yeah. Mind you, I don't even have a favorite team. And my favorite team depends on who's on my fantasy team. So
That's sad. Eli Manning was my quarterback in fantasy football, so I actually blame him for me having to go into the consolation round, but, you know, whatever. Anyway, we have definitely gone over our segment, allotted segment time for Ask a Rhino this week, and frankly, I could not be more pleased, because...
Nice.
Well, not only that, I mean, one, it's good to finally have Brodigan on the show, we get Dina on the show, we got Mark, who just kind of sat there, turning letters, as is what Vanna does. And
he does look stunning in the evening gown.
He does. He wears an evening gown well. Anyway, guys.
Wow, really?
Guys, thank you for being on the show tonight, and be prepared to be wearing Colts shirts at CPAC. I'm just saying.
Do you know what size
you wear? Because I'll take care of it
for you right now.
I fought the authority. The authority always wins.
Dina.
Oh, that's a Mellencamp song.
Dina, well, what size of shirt do you wear? Because I'll go ahead and pick you up one for tomorrow.
A small.
Okay. No, she already knows, John.
She already knows. You heard it in the voice.
She's like, itty, itty.
Oh my goodness, this is going
to
be good.
I get the feeling I'm going to be sold out come February, so I'm going to have to enlist a few extra New Yorkers.
Do what you can. We'll have Colt shirts for all of them. Guys, thanks for being on the show. We've actually come to the very end of the show, so thank you for tuning in to Gillespie this week, and stick around for... What? We got a new person taking over Duke's time slot. John Brodigan is actually going to be playing in the next show. Who's the host? Who's the host of that show?
The fabulous, the lovely Ashley Sewell on, I believe it's called the Texas Trendy Tick Show. Okay, here's the thing, though. I think I'm on the debut show. Oh. I recorded my segment, so I'm pretty sure I was on the debut show.
Okay, so if you guys stick around for Ashley's show and John isn't on, well,
that's... I'm a big fat liar.
He is a liar. And, well, that only that just means you're really channeling your inner rhino. So.
Right.
All right, thanks, guys. Stick around for Ashley's show. We'll be back next Tuesday. Stick around for Ashley, and this is Gillespie signing off on FTRradio.com. Good night.